strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show, KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
All right, I'm giving you a heads up. We are doing this all week long in the 7 a.m. hour on Arizona's Morning News, on this show in the 11 a.m. hour. We are doing it on the other shows. I believe they are doing it in the 3 o'clock hour and the 5 o'clock hour, where we're giving you a chance to win Suns tickets. You're going to hear a sounder. You'll know what you when you hear it. You're going to be given a code word, and then you've got to text in that code word to be registered to win the tickets. It's going to happen in this hour, sooner rather than later. I'm just warning you. So be listening for your chance to win Suns playoff tickets. It's going to happen. All right. The United States Supreme Court eyes an anti-camping law. But what are we upping against here in the homeless issue? Because there are a lot of issues here. This is multifaceted. Let me give you a couple of headlines. Crisis in the Northwest. Cities battle against homelessness could have dire effects on the nation. That talks about this lawsuit. Homeless shelters in Massachusetts raise concerns as lawmakers consider historic limit to family stays. Now, since 1983, the state of Massachusetts has promised families and pregnant women a right to shelter. They have in that state a right to shelter law. Because of what we've seen with immigrants into this country and others, they cannot sustain that. So they are looking at changing those laws. The nation is faced with a homeless crisis. Some of it is because of the fentanyl crisis and other opiates. We are seeing also the migrant issue in the U.S. And there's a part of that that is not talked about enough. Let me explain. We have amazing organizations of people and benevolent people that give. Whenever I talk about St. Mary's Food Bank or United Food Bank or any of the other great places that are helping with hunger, and I say to you, go to the website. Today's a day to be an intentional giver. Today's a day that now that we're talking about it and thinking about it, it's not the holidays when people volunteer and give, and it's just a regular day, but people are hungry and people are in need. People donate. When I talk about St. Vincent de Paul and the great work they do, when I talk about CAS, the Central Arizona Shelter Services, people donate. We did a water drive. It was amazing how much money and water we raised during the hot summer months for CAS. And even, you know, as much as we did, we know that we're not putting a big dent in the needs. But people are benevolent in their giving. We know that's the case here. But there's also more issues than that. Yes, it is about immigration, because those organizations that are dedicating to the human plight, also they don't see borders and they don't see anything but need. And when there's a need, they fill it. That's why I love them so much. It takes the politics away. It takes everything else away. And you are just one human being to another, giving them a hand up. I love that. I love that. I'm always going to talk about the politics of things and how we can do something to rectify an issue. But when it comes to the human existence, we're all just trying to get through this life together. This issue of what the Supreme Court is going to take up has to do with that quality of life. And I think in the long run, it's going to be helpful to the plight of homeless people. Because if it is known, if the Supreme Court decides that local jurisdictions have a right to set limits, that you can't say, I don't have a place to live, therefore you can't tell me I can't block the sidewalk, that I can't set up a tent on the sidewalk in front of your business, that the drug paraphernalia isn't going to be enforced and relieving yourself in a public sidewalk because you don't have facilities is okay. It's not okay. And we all know that there's discretion. You know, if I walk out of a bar and walk behind the building and they catch me relieving myself on the building, it's different than someone that sleeps outdoors and doesn't have access. And it's going to be handled differently. But that doesn't mean it shouldn't be illegal for them, but still illegal for me. It doesn't mean that children that play in a park or families that enjoy, you know, I have friends that live in a neighborhood, grown in neighborhoods where the parks have been there for years and years and years. And they like take walks in the evenings and they walk and there are people camping out and they're concerned because there's drugs and alcohol being used. And, you know, with drugs and alcohol come erratic behaviors. And when the erratic behaviors happen, they're concerned about their safety. There's drug paraphernalia that's left behind. There's open drug use. There's sexual activity, whether it's prostitution or otherwise going on, and no one should be subjected to that. That's a common sense approach. But if the Supreme Court is to decide, well, there's nothing you can do, people have a right to access and do these things, then what do you say? The city of Phoenix, and you know me, I don't defend governments very often, but the city of Phoenix has been caught between a rock and a hard place. There was a federal law that they thought they were obeying by not enforcing the laws at the zone, that their hands were tied legally, that there wasn't much they could do. And the what happened to the zone and the immense growth that happened there and the businesses that complained, they finally filed a lawsuit. Well, then a superior court judge locally said, no. That federal law may say this, but you still have an obligation to enforce the local existing laws. Now you've got a certain amount of time in order to go in there and do that. And then the ACLU came in and they sued on top of that on behalf of the homeless people. And oddly enough, this was very strange. The guest I had on, who was a lawyer representing the homeless people from the ACLU, was talking about the rights of their clients, and in this case, homeless people. And I said, well, what about the rights of a business owner that has a right to have a business without being impeded by someone else? He didn't deny those rights. What he said was, those business owners aren't my client. Take that in for what it's worth, but that's what he said. So we have to have rules and they have to be obeyed. And so I treat addiction, let's go with just the obvious in people's minds, is the addiction aspect of this. Whether it's people with mental health issues that are self-medicating with illegal drugs, or it's illegal drugs that are forcing people into mental health breaks and mental health issues while they're high. Either way, it doesn't matter. Let's address that for just a moment. I believe addiction is something that should be treated as an illness, like many people. I don't think you should be punished because you have an addiction, but I do believe you have to be punished if you commit crimes to support your addiction. If you are someone that is addicted to fentanyl, if you're addicted to whatever it is, methamphetamines, whatever it is, if you're an addict and you commit a crime to support your habit, you have to be punished for your crime. We'll help you to get off so that you're not doing, get off the drugs so that you're not committing the crimes, but you're going to pay for the crimes. I mean, I don't think that's unreasonable. I don't think anyone, I shouldn't say anyone, there are a lot of people that do. See, I don't think there's anyone that sees that as unreasonable. It isn't unreasonable that municipalities have an obligation to all of its residents, to all of its citizens. And you can't say that just because someone's existence is one where they don't have a place to live means they don't have to have the same basic behavior requirements that the rest of us do. I can't walk around naked in public. I can't relieve myself in public. I can't camp on the sidewalk. I can't do drugs. I can't do a lot of these things. I can't, you know, can't have sex in public. I can't. The law says I can't. That means you can't either. So if you want help, we've got help available and we're going to get you help. If you're service resistant and you don't want help, that's your choice. But you're still going to be held to a standard. And that standard is you're going to live the same way the rest of us live in public. And if you don't, you're going to pay a price. I don't think that that is an unreasonable thing to do. In a few minutes, we're going to get you caught up. We do this thing called Did You Hear This every day at 11:20. So in a few moments, we're going to get you caught up on those issues. But first,
KTAR News. All in for the Suns in the playoffs.
All right, listen up, Suns fan. It's your choice. Here's your Phoenix Suns code word of the day. The word is Phoenix. Phoenix, as in Phoenix Suns. Just text just the word Phoenix, nothing else, to 411-923 right now and enter your info. You could be heading to a Suns home playoff game. You can tune in to Chris and Joe today during the 3 p.m. hour for your next Suns code word. But again, the keyword for my show, do it right now. Text the word Phoenix to 411-923. Good luck. We hope you get entered.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
All right, let's catch up on the biggest headlines of the day. Did you hear this?
Did you hear this? Broomhead's reaction to the hottest news stories.
Opening statements have concluded and court is adjourned for the day in former President Trump's hush money trial in New York City. Trump spoke to reporters after day one, citing his frustrations.
This is what took me off and takes me off the campaign trail, because I should be in Georgia now. I should be in Florida now. I should be in a lot of different places right now campaigning, and I'm sitting here. And this will go on for a long time.
Will this trial impact independent voters this November?
I think it has the opportunity, absolutely, if for no other reason, what the former president just said. Now, there are some saying, well, then you shouldn't have gotten yourself in trouble and had to be on trial. But yeah, of course, when you are out of sight, you are out of mind. I don't care who it is, that when you see the current president out on the campaign trail pushing his agenda, it is an advantage to the current president. Now, whether you think it's justified or not, that's what we're going to see in the coming days, of whether or not the public believes this was necessary, and will there be a pushback in the other direction? But yes, it is going to have some effect one way or the other. There is no way that this is going to be ignored with no effect whatsoever.
The Strategic Communications Director of the Arizona Farm Bureau, Julie Murphy, joined the show to explain how inflation is impacting Arizona farmers. She says almost every input cost has gone up over the past 3 years.
The biggest increases have been in fertilizer, interest expenses, pesticides, livestock, fuel and oil at 35%, animal feed at 32%, taxes.
How do input costs for farmers affect consumers at the grocery store?
Like every other industry, except this one is a necessity, and they're commodities that fluctuate on the markets. But we all know that when you are on the front end cost of production, whatever it is you're producing, those expenses go to the bottom line of what you're charging for the products that you sell. We need farmers. We need to keep these family-owned farms in business. And to hear, I think the one number was 78% in the cost of fertilizer and an increase just in the last few years. It almost feels unsustainable, but there's a reason why we have elevated food prices. I was just at the grocery store yesterday, and I shop in the produce section quite a bit. And I'm telling you, man, the idea that we might lose healthy food and produce, or at least have a less access to it, is scary to me. And I'm glad she came in, and I'm glad she told us about what's going on with farmers. You are listening to Did You Hear This? We do it every day at 11:20 to catch you up on our biggest news stories.
Passover begins tonight at sundown, and for many in Israel, the war is casting a shadow over the holiday.
Many say they will find it difficult to celebrate the ancient story of freedom, while 129 Israelis remain far from free in the clutches of Hamas. Tradition holds the fifth cup of wine at the Passover meal is left for Elijah the prophet, but many say this year they will rededicate it to the hostages and their loved ones killed in the war.
What can the United States do to ensure that the hostages are released?
This is one of those situations that is so difficult. I read a story this morning that one of the synagogues, and maybe many of them are doing this, have lined like 14 rows with the names of people that were taken hostage, and then they've removed them if they've either been released or they've died. But there are still well over 100 names, almost 130 names that remain. And these are real human beings that are suffering because they happen to be Jews. And at a time of Passover that is supposed to be a celebration for this community, the concern and how can you possibly celebrate? I'm glad they're recognizing these people. The U.S. and our involvement should be that in no uncertain terms, whether it's Hamas, Hezbollah, the Iranians, or any of these organizations, if you are going to do this to a race of people and a group of people that are such allies to us, you're going to pay a heavy toll. And that price is going to be economic to begin with, but we may not stop there.
Today is Earth Day, celebrating 54 years of inspiring millions of people to care for and appreciate the planet. ABC's Dave Packer shares some numbers about what has changed since the very first Earth Day.
2.6, the number of degrees the United States has warmed since the first Earth Day. 60%. That's EarthDay.com's target for reducing production of all plastics by 2040. Without changes, the group says there will be more plastic in the oceans than fish by 2050.
How can we better care for our environment for years to come?
I think it's as simple as this. The political ideology of all this should be set aside because it divides us. But what we all want, and we think about our children and our grandchildren, we want them to breathe clean air. We want them to drink clean water. We want to be responsible citizens. We want us just to, what we can do in our little corner of the world is don't waste. Don't throw things in the street. Be the best that you can be at preserving what's around you. Leave it cleaner than you found it has always been the ideology we've used and has been taught to me since I was little. When you go out somewhere in nature, when you go out somewhere to work, when you're in a park, when you're at an event, leave it cleaner than you found it. Those little things are the individual things we can do in the immediate future and long term. Becoming smarter and becoming more efficient with things because of technology makes us better as well in the long run. And I think those are just some of them collectively we can all agree on without anything that divides us. We all can agree on that, and it's something we should do. Great job, Julia, as always. We will pick it up again tomorrow at 11:20. What we're going to do in just a few moments is let you hear a little bit of that interview I had with the strategic communications director from the Farm Bureau and how it pertains to inflation for all of us and why so much more is being spent on the necessities. It was an compelling interview. You'll hear more next.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
We've been talking about inflation for a very long time, and I think it's something that's going to remain. And I, from the beginning of this, when the argument was being made by the administration that this was transitory inflation, that it was going to tick up slightly and then crash back down, that inflation ticks up and it takes a long, long time to reverse it. It's like trying to change directions in a ship. You don't reverse course quickly. And we've seen this to be true, and it's even stickier now, and we can get into, and maybe we will get into some of the reasons behind it. But let's talk about food costs. We continue to hear, and this is what bothered me more than anything else, when you hear government officials blame private industry for their problems, it bothers me. When you hear the administration first go after oil companies and then they go after the food industry, whether it was grocers or whether it's food producers, it bothers me. I have had the privilege of meeting a lot of farmers, but especially ranchers, and it's most of the time it's both. They raise crops and they raise livestock in order to feed their families. But it is such an important resource that we have, and we take it for granted. And the other part of this, and I'm glad we had Julie Murphy on, and she is the strategic communications director for the Farm Bureau, and she's a farmer. Her family is farmers in Arizona for a very long time. And it was such a fun conversation off the air and on the air with her, because I have such respect for the people that do this work. It is hard work. But there is always, I came from the construction world, and there is this misconception that somehow if you work with your hands, if you wear jeans and a t-shirt to work, that somehow you're doing it because intellectually you're not able to do the suit and tie work. And I will tell you, there are geniuses that are farmers that have found a way through technology and advancements to grow more crops on less land and do it more efficiently. And thank God for them. If we didn't have the food growers, what would we have? And I think that's true. I believe that to be true. So to go after producers, food producers, and blame them and call them somehow greedy people bothers me. That's not the case, that we have the problems we have now for the most part. They were induced by the government decisions and how they printed money and how they borrowed money and how they continue to do that and spend it at an alarming rate in a deficit. But that's a different conversation. I'm going to get into the reasons why this happened, but I want you to hear just this one part. This is Julie Murphy describing the increased cost just in the last few years and the percentage has gone up just on the fertilizer used to grow crops.
If you look at inflation over the last 3 years, it's highest in the fertilizer, 78%, if you calculate that from 2020 to 2023. So in this inflationary period, in this last 3 to 4 years, it's huge on the farm.
So here's a couple of things. New data. Arizonans spend an average of $2,184 a month on the most common household bills. Arizona ranks 21st among U.S. states in terms of how much people spend on the most common household bills. They spend about 2% higher than the national average. Paradise Valley is the most expensive in the state, but the cost difference between Paradise Valley and the cheapest city might be small. In Paradise Valley, the average per month is $3,400. That's what folks pay, which is 60% higher than the U.S. average. In comparison, $1,500 is the average in the cheapest city, which is Eloy. So you look at the differences, but 2024 will be the toughest labor market in our lifetime, according to a report from Red Balloon. An alarming new study on the future of the labor market puts a spotlight on the lack of employees and the rise of the workplace litigation this year. It talks about how 2024 is going to be one of the most challenging years in the labor market of our lifetime, according to the CEO. There's a lot of different factors. We see a population decline. We see baby boomers retiring. We see a Gen Z workforce that is coming in and not doing productive things in the workplace. The thing that I think is most alarming, though, is the entire report that one of our big findings was the amount of litigation that's happening in the American workplace. When you have a negative attitude toward the employer, and that's I just never understood it. I've worked for bad bosses. I've worked for people I didn't like, and I got out. Sometimes I didn't get out fast enough, but I got out. And putting yourself in a position to have options is on you. As an electrician, I was good at what I did. And before I was good at it, I worked hard. I showed up and I did my job. My bosses, my immediate bosses, go from the ground up. As a journeyman electrician, you are on a job site and you've got apprentices working for you. If you can give an apprentice a job within their skill set and you don't have to worry about them getting the job done or messing it up or messing around or flaking out on you or not showing up for work, that's a good thing. If you're the foreman on a job, you don't have to worry about the journeyman on the job and the helpers on the job. If you're a project manager and then the owner of the company, if you are someone that they realize, you know what, I can tell this guy or girl, I can tell them to go do something and I know they're going to go do it. When my bosses gave me one of their work trucks loaded with their material and loaded with their tools, and they gave me a stack of work orders and said, here you go, get these done and then come see us. And 4 or 5 days later, I came back to them with a stack of work orders ready to be billed out, paperwork done the right way, and I did it in an efficient way where they were making money and they never had to worry about me again. They love employees like that. And when you work for people like that and it comes time for a raise and you say to them, hey, listen, I've been doing a good job. I'd like to get a raise. If they don't give you the raise, you say, well, I'm going to have to go work somewhere else because I've got somebody else offering me more money. That means you have options as an employee. But I've never held an employer responsible for my success. And if I worked for somebody that wasn't paying me or treating me, and I worked for people that didn't treat me like I deserved to be treated, I got out. But I made sure that I was attractive to someone else, that I was good enough at my job, that I was doing a good enough job that somebody else wanted me. And that's on me. The highest paid, highest paying jobs that don't require a college degree. Number one, construction superintendent. The median salary is $84,600. That's nationally. I think it's even higher here in Arizona. Manufacturing production manager comes in at about 71.8. Manufacturing, we are number one in manufacturing growth in the nation in Arizona. I think that salary is even higher. Journeyman plumber, I know it's higher here. Journeyman plumber, the median salary nationwide is around $61,500. But let me tell you, I know that journeyman plumbers, electricians, air conditioning mechanics, they are making in the neighborhood of $75,000 a year. year with a benefit package or more. These are jobs without a degree. They are jobs that have long-term job security, which is what many people are looking for. Here's a story from NPR. Many in Gen Z ditch colleges for trade schools. Meet the tool belt generation. Here's what a guy named Kirby, Cy Kirby, said. I was facing a lot of pressure for a guy that knew for a fact that he wasn't going to college. I knew I wasn't going to sit in a classroom, especially since I knew I wasn't going to pay for it. Instead, at 19, he took a job at a local water department in southern Arkansas. He said the position helped him develop the skills and needed him to start his own construction company. So this young man now owns a construction company. I'm telling you, as a person from that experience, I was 18 years old with no direction but a strong work ethic. I worked in restaurants. I was working at the time at a drive-through gas station and convenience store where you pulled up, pumped your gas, and then you drove through. And I had this little, you know, shed I worked in that you came in, you told me what you wanted, I charged you for it. You never had to get out of your car. I was making very little money, but I didn't care. I was working. I got a job as an apprentice electrician, really as a helper. I didn't know anything about the industry. That was June of 1985. Within six years, I was the manager of a small contracting company on Sanibel and Captiva Islands in Southwest Florida. And then when I moved to Arizona, I immediately jumped in and went to work, became a service manager for a company out here called Brown & Sons Electric. I went to work for a couple of different companies. I ended up having a partner in a small business, and I had my company in 2004 to 2010 when the radio job took over. I never would have imagined being a business owner with someone with so little education. My work ethic, the training I got from other people, and how serious I took the industry, it was limitless for me. Limitless. I had no student debt. I went to some schools, many of them paid for by my employers. And I tell this story over and over again because there are ways out there to make a living and make a really nice living for yourself working for people without incurring debt. That doesn't denigrate a college education, but it's an alternative. It's an alternative road to success no matter what inflation is out there for the right people. All right, coming up in a moment, we got a few more headlines of the day, and then we're going to catch up on what's going on with the boys 2-4. It's all coming up in just a few moments.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show, KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
All right, here's a little hint and a little preview for you. All week long, we are giving away tickets to see the Phoenix Suns home playoff games. And every show has a chance for you to enter. Now, I gave away the code word in the 11 o'clock hour. And the Chris and Joe show is on 2-4. And I'm being told your show will be giving away that opportunity with a new code word in the 3 o'clock hour.
That is right. Yes, we will.
So, I mean, I love this. I had the privilege when the Suns made the finals. I got to see them beat Milwaukee. I got to go to one of the finals games. I was never a huge basketball fan, but it is electric in that arena during the playoffs. It is something that everyone should be able to experience.
It's number one out here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a bummer that we just saw a hockey franchise leave the Valley. I know I'm crushed. I know you're bummed out about that. But basketball is number one here in the Valley because it started here. It was the first sport out here.
The Suns are a generational franchise. It is what every other franchise in town aspires to, which is the entire family from the grandparents to the grandchildren have got memories of that team. And the Phoenix Suns have built that here over decades. And they're well deserving of having that title. I think it's great stuff.
No doubt. 100%.
What do you got coming up? I know you got something in the sports world coming up.
How do you know that?
Because I heard the promo.
Oh, so we mentioned that on Friday, of course, but we're going to dive in 2 o'clock hour to a lot of economy stuff.
Okay.
A number of stories I'm sure that you've had an eye on, from gas prices being way up here in Arizona compared to nationally. I mean, it's high nationally, but even worse here in Arizona. Trying to afford the American dream. And how unattainable it is these days. And is it time that we just get rid of that notion of the American dream? The amount of money you need to afford an average house here in Arizona, six figures now, a lot of economy stuff out there. And another one that I saw over the weekend, Mike, why are couples choosing cohabitation over marriage now?
I don't know. I have a lot of answers I want to give, but I'm afraid if I do, they might get angry with
me. No.
I would imagine for a lot of people, it's more convenient. There are many people that say that you can't get divorced if you don't get married.
But you know what Dave Ramsey says about this, that you're, you know, not a good idea to be doing that. You want to be married. There's more
tax benefits. Yeah.
Yeah. So diving into all that, and then also mortgage rates too. That's not great for the home buyer.
Yeah,
I
did see a story on the Wall Street Journal this morning that said people that are home sellers that have been holding out for rates to drop before they get rid of their low interest rates. A lot of them are saying, we're not waiting anymore. We've got to get something done. So hopefully there's going to be some movement this summer, because I think people do have that need to move on to the next place and sell to the next generation. And I hope it gets rolling.
Right now is traditionally the time, as school is kind of winding down and people are thinking like, hey, where do we want to go? Now is usually that time when you start to see a lot of the for sale signs. But will, you know, mortgage rates being up, you know, just the fact that homes are so crazy expensive. I know I feel locked into my house right now. If I wanted to move, if I stayed in the Valley, I don't know that I could. I certainly couldn't afford a house of the same size, but I don't know that I could afford another house, period.
But you got equity. That's the nice thing.
It is, definitely. But I would be having to buy a smaller house to be able to, you know, still stick around out here.
I would like to have a small. I live alone. I don't need four bedrooms, three bedrooms. I don't, whatever.
Do you want a roommate? I can come hang out.
No. I'm happy to live alone. I just think I would like to have a really big kitchen and then a smaller house.
Make it happen. Why don't you do that?
I'd have to build one.
You also are somebody who is very skilled in electrical work. I'm sure that you can, you know, you got those big guns over there. I'm sure you can knock down some walls.
Can and want to are two different things.
Well, if I try to do it, it's going to go horribly wrong.
I want nothing to do with it. So I want, nope, I'm done. I still have my electricians, my hand tools.
Uh-huh.
Rusted shut, baby, and I'm happy about it.
You got to bust those out,
nope,
man. Come
not
on.
Not a chance. All right, the Chris and Joe Show are on is today, every day, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4. Tune in, get a shot at, you know, at least registering for those Suns tickets. We're going to be doing it all week long and all the shows. There's happening in the 3 o'clock hour. We'll be back tomorrow morning just after 8 a.m. As I always say, thanks for listening part of your day today. I hope you'll check us out for part of your day tomorrow. Until tomorrow, everyone, have a great day. God bless.